Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, onto something a bit more serious. If you have an alcoholic or any sort of addict in your life, is there anything you can do to help them? The answer, sadly, is probably nothing, but can you do anything to not make the problem worse? Austin Pryor is an addiction counsellor. Good afternoon, Austin.
How are you doing, John?
I suppose if there's somebody, particularly if there's somebody in the home who it seems is developing a drinking problem, is it more often than not that family members around, initially at least, will say, it's not that bad. They just like a drink.
Generally, that's it. Unfortunately, it's such a part of our culture that, and then nobody wants to kind of imagine that addiction is coming into their family. So everybody hopes, we'll hope against hope. It's not going to get any worse. And maybe it's just a phase he or she is going through. It's all those questions that go on. But like the reality is that once it hits in a family, it's an absolutely devastating condition for not just for the person who has the addiction, but for the people around them in the family. Yeah.
Mm. And if it's an adult child who's developing this addiction, and there may be a family history of addiction there, does that make the parents more inclined to recognize it or perhaps less inclined to recognize it?
Well, I'd probably they reluctantly, maybe in that instance, you know, if either parent has come through either addiction in their own family or maybe they've dealt with addictions themselves, if, generally speaking, if somebody like a parent has dealt with an addiction themselves, they're very quick to spot it in their adult children. If it's in their own maybe parents or other family members, they might be a little bit slower to recognize it, but they will recognize it pretty quickly. And then you're back to your question earlier, is can they do anything about it, or you know, how did they manage it, which is a huge problem for people, you know.
Yeah. And is the brutal short answer to that, you know, if you're a parent saying, what can I do to help here? Nothing. There's nothing you can do to
Okay, you could look at that. In my work, sometimes it's the question I get asked quite a lot is like, what can I do to stop him or her drinking or using drugs or whatever it is? And sadly, the first and the most direct answer is, well, there is nothing that you can do directly. You can't make somebody else change their behavior overnight. But my first question then, if I get the chance to talk to them, is to say, well, is there anything different that you could do? You know, and that's often a good place to start, because naturally, when addiction hits a family, especially with parents, they're worried about their family members' health, well-being, all of that kind of stuff. Sure. So your primary anxiety is, what can I do to help? And oftentimes they're looking in the wrong direction. Sometimes they have to stop and say, well, okay, what do I need to do differently here?
Mm. Okay. You know? When you say looking in the wrong direction, explain what you mean by that.
Well, they might be sort of thinking that if I say it often enough to him or her, like, you know, that they're drinking too much, or they're using too much drugs, or they're gambling too much. Like, if I say it often enough and say things like, you know, would you not just be sensible, and would you not just drink a little bit less, or would not just go out on the weekend, you know, and make all the suggestions that make perfect sense. But unfortunately, when you're dealing with addiction, there is no logic and there is no perfect sense. So sometimes people have to stop and think, well, hold on, do I need to do anything different here, rather than focusing all my attention on trying to get him or her to do something different?
Mm. Now, you know? And there may well be people listening to us, Austin, who are wondering if a family member, is it addiction? I mean, is there... If you're wondering if it's addiction, is then the answer yes, or could it be,
you know,
someone's just...
Probably, I mean, generally, if family members think that someone has an addiction problem, wondering about it, they probably do have. So then, like, you have to come around and try and ask direct questions for a start, or point out what are unacceptable behaviours, because that's what it often comes down to, particularly in a family situation. That there are behaviours that are at one level unacceptable, but suddenly, subtly, if you want to put it that way, become acceptable in a family which is being hit by addiction. You know,
right.
So people will be saying things like, well, maybe it's not that bad, whereas in fact it is that bad. You know, so maybe that's what I suppose what I mean by saying maybe people have to stop and think, well, you know, what is the behavior that I'm concerned about? Is it somebody being short of money all the time? Is it somebody being late for work all the time, being hungover after weekend, you know, running out of money because they're gambling, or running out of money because they're using drugs and alcohol? You know, that if they're kind of obvious, sometimes parents make the mistake of thinking, oh, well, if I help them out, or if I help her out, you know, they'll get over this and, you know, we'll move on. And unfortunately, all they're doing is making it easier for their family members, or their son or their daughter, to keep going.
Yeah. Is that essentially enabling them?
Yeah. Do you know, Sean, that's I tend to avoid that, the word enabling, because when people hear that, it sounds kind of judgmental. It sounds as if I'm saying it's your fault.
Mm.
But that's not the same thing as saying, like, that it's okay to ask yourself, am I doing something that's making it easier for him or her to continue? And like, a simple thing might be giving them money. It might be making excuses. It might be, you know, ringing their job and saying, Johnny or Mary is sick today. You know, they're really hungover. But you know what I mean? There's things that parents do because they think it's the right thing to do.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And plus also, I suppose, the stress that causes for the parents in that okay, every single morning,
absolutely,
there might have to be another row about something.
Absolutely. I think you've hit, that's a really important thing you just said there. And it's something I often say to people, you know, after I've had a conversation with them, I always say, do you realize how stressed that you sound? And that's always the case. Or I might say to them, have you thought about how stressed this is making you feel? And people will always say, like, 9 times out of 10, they're saying, well, I didn't really think about that. Or I didn't realize that. But actually, it's hugely stressful, as you say, not knowing what's going on. And plus, I think maybe cause the biggest stress is if there's someone you love and you see them in danger, your natural instinct is to take them out of that danger.
Mm.
And if you can't, I think that creates a huge level of conflict and stress.
Yeah. So is it, if one has the energy and the resolve to do it, if you see a loved one who's, you know, continually late for work, or, you know, any number of number of factors there, do you keep pointing it out to them? This is happening because you're an alcoholic.
I think you have to actually, yeah. I mean, you mightn't use that word, but you certainly, and no reason not to, I should say as well. But like, I think the direct approach is better. And some people may have to go to the extent of having other family members sit down with the person who has the addiction and say, listen, we need to point out a few facts to you. Sometimes it's simply one or other of the parents taking their adult child aside and saying, listen, you know, we're noticing certain things here which lead us to believe that you have a real addiction problem, so you need to do something about it. You know, and it's at that point they're saying, look, we'll help you do something about it. And that's where the kind of, I suppose, the care and the support comes in. Yeah, we'll help you do something about it. But if the adult child says, no, you're wrong, mind your own business, then unfortunately there isn't anything they can do about it, you know?
That's like that kind of intervention situation.
Mm.
In your experience, do they tend to work? Because I suppose it's kind of chicken and egg in a way. They need to be open to that intervention for it to work.
They do. And I think, like, statistically worldwide, I think they do find that interventions do work. Like, it's not a magic bullet. But sometimes, in fairness to lots of people with addiction, there is a part of them that knows deep down that all is not well, you know. And sometimes what they need is somebody to point it out to them, and somebody to tell them, like, we know you have an addiction, we know it's a problem, but we're going to help you through it. Because, like, one of the huge problems with addiction is people become very isolated, and they become, you know, they think that they're the only ones that are in the wrong here, and they get overcome with shame. They, you know, all those factors play in. So I think a good intervention which points out the facts, but which also is supportive, can be very, very useful.
Yeah. I just want to read out a message that came in from one of our listeners. Undiagnosed autism and alcoholism needs to be addressed. My husband was undiagnosed and was a high-functioning alcoholic who couldn't deal with people and relied heavily on drink to get through the day. He went to rehab twice, but they did not consider he needed help around his autism. I found him dead 2 years later after a very tough journey. He was an alcoholic because he couldn't cope with life skills. Also, no support available for family, no grief counselling available for this specific scenario.
Wow, that's really sad. Thankfully, Sean, that is changing, you know, and people in my line of business are becoming much more aware of the combination of autism or ADHD and addiction. Like it's, and when you stop and stand back and think of it, even using that man as an example, like lots of people suffering from, you know, various neurodiversion conditions can use alcohol as a medication, as a way of helping them through it. And sometimes it's undiagnosed and you know, people need that bit of understanding. But thankfully, I think that is changing. And like people in my line of work are making themselves more and more aware of it. And we are becoming, you know, we're seeing more of it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now, and that, now that this is in a different context, but she did say high functioning. You do get a lot of people who, and that, you know, that are so-called functioning alcoholics. They still go to work every day.
Absolutely. And sometimes, leaving the neurodiversity aside, there are lots of people who, you know, will use the work and that as part of their delusion and their denial. Like, I mean, they're saying, look, I'm able to hold on a job. I'm earning good money. And all of that, so therefore I couldn't have a problem. So it can become a part of the problem, or part of their denial process. And like, if you think it's something like, I suppose particularly around cocaine and gambling, they're the big money spending addictions, and oftentimes the job is the very last thing that an addict wants to let go. So they will see harm coming to family. And they will borrow and beg and steal all around them, but they will hold on to the job because the job is where they're making their money, and they need it for, you know, a particularly expensive addiction.
Yeah, I suppose that goes back to where we started about that really difficult position the family are in, that the family might see someone who's going to screw this up. They are going to lose the job, and there's nothing they can do about that.
That's right. That's right. And that's what it comes down to. People will often say, threatening their family, say, look, you know, if you tell, you're going to be the funeral, you're going to lose my job. Or if you, you know, if with adult children, if you tell my wife, she's going to leave me. Or if you tell my husband, he's going to leave me. All of those come up. But like, the main thing to remember in all of that for the person who's been accused is for them to be able to reassure themselves, I'm not doing anything wrong here. This is a consequence of his or her behavior. And unless they face that, because oftentimes that's the thing that makes somebody stop and look for help, is that they see the consequences of their addiction has become too much to bear, you know? And I often find myself saying to somebody in a family situation, look, why should your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife stop what they're doing? Because at the moment, they have it all their way. They have, they might get a bit of grief for you on a Monday morning, or they might get silent treatment for a few days, but the reality is they're fed, they're well looked after, they're given a few bob if they need it. So what's the incentive for them to change their behavior?
Yeah. Austin, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Austin Pryor there, an addiction counselor. Somebody else says, my boss is a functioning alcoholic and it's affecting their work. We also sell alcohol and they just help themselves to it. No record or payment of stock taken. Such a bad example, making me want to leave as I care more about the business than they do. If they were drinking cans on the street, people would judge them. Turns me off drink.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.